Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Kira slung the blaster over her back and bent to pick up Lars as another blast cut through the air. Adar, she thought. So the man followed me after all. She forgot whatever it was that she had been about to say when she straightened up, slinging Lars over her hip. A squad of Hunway stood over the body of the man she had wounded. A big hole had been burnt through his chest. One of the Hunway turned, and she was surprised to see the face of a man looking back out at her. Just like the one Adar had killed back at her tavern. She turned to run, but found two more coming at her from behind. One of the men in Hunway armor clamped onto her arm, while the other ripped away her blaster. When Lars screamed out in terror, she clutched him to her chest and gritted her teeth to keep from screaming herself. And now? Chapter 19. The front of the town hall was all but destroyed. Adar was relieved to see the back of the structure near where the archives were located still stood firm. He intended to go back into the archives to poke around if he got the chance. There hadn't been time to explore during any of his previous visits. The rest of the building was on its last legs. It looked weak enough that the smallest of breezes should be enough to topple it. It must be sturdier than it looks, Adar thought when the wind picked up, and the remaining part of the destroyed structure did not move. A Hunway ship had crashed into the field before the town hall and slammed into the building. The small side door Adar had used when leaving the town hall earlier in the day was still standing, but the great double doors were not. They had been shattered by the impact. A large piece of the great door lay on the ground, not far from where Adar knelt, peeking out of the open door of an empty home. The great doors had been works of art. It saddened him to see them lying in pieces. The same could be said for the town hall itself. It was a relic of the ages past. It was a shame it had made it through the invasion only to be taken out now. It may have taken more than a decade to build, but it had been destroyed in the blink of an eye. The dome's roof over the great meeting hall had caved in. Adar had noted it had suffered a lot of damage when he had passed through the large room earlier in the day, right after the tower had been activated. At least something had still been there. Now the whole of it was gone. It had stood for more than 1,000 years and was gone in an instant. Smoke still rose from the pile of burning Hunway bodies that had blocked his path earlier. The flames had died down, and it was possible to see bits of armor pointing out here and there, but much of it had melted as it slowly formed into a single mass. The church building right next to the burning Hunway that had looked like it had been about to catch fire was still standing. A large section of the wall of the church had blackened, but it had never caught fire. Before Adar could wonder about it, a man appeared in the window just above the blackened area and lifted up a bucket. He carefully poured water out of the pail so that it slid down the wall. When he was done, he brought up a second bucket and did the same thing. Adar smiled, wondering whether the man knew that he had saved more than his house. He had probably saved the town square as well. From Adar's vantage point, he could only see the back of the ship that had plowed into the town hall. It was considerably smaller than the one that had taken out the arches. If the engines had been working when it landed, they were not working now. There also didn't appear to be any flame in the rubble. Another small mercy, Adar thought, wondering how much longer their luck could hold. Several other smaller piles of dead armored Hunway still burned throughout the square, but they weren't located near anything that would threaten the rest of the surrounding area. It all might go up in flame anyway. If the wind didn't let up, the fire back at the entrance to the arches would spread, and there wouldn't be a building left standing by this time tomorrow. If he hadn't had to deal with the Hunway, Adar would have done something about these other fires. Chances were that throwing water on the burning Hunway remains would accomplish little. But perhaps volunteers could have been found to keep the ground around the other fires damp. Bark peered through the window of the home where they hid, without parting the curtains. He understands the need for caution, Adar thought. I'll give him that much. Bark looked over when Adar made a motion for him to come to the door. But Bark turned back to the window while shaking his head. His face was pale. The anger hadn't lasted much longer than the time it had taken to run through several city blocks. Adar resisted shaking his head as he turned his attention back to the town square. I played the bit about Bark's wife too soon. I should have saved it until right before it was necessary. As he looked at the ship, Adar was painfully conscious of the fact that he had armed Bark with a weapon that could kill with the touch of a button. I intentionally stoked his anger, gave him a weapon, and told him to follow me. By the gods, I must be mad. It won't be much of a mystery if he decides he's better off without me and sends me to the Eternal Worlds to meet the Makers. Adar sighed. What's done was done. The crashed ship had left a furrow in the ground that went right by the tower. Miraculously, the tower hadn't suffered any damage. Another stroke of luck on a day that had not had enough. Maybe Melia is paying more attention to us than I thought, Adar thought. Or maybe we've used up all our luck and things are about to take a turn for the worse. Judging by the angle of the sun peeking through the smoke and the cloud-covered sky, it couldn't have been more than an hour and a half since Adar had left to chase after Ter. Is that all? He thought. It feels as though a week's worth of events have happened in the meantime. A dozen or more ships had been here before, but most of those had taken off in the last few minutes. Only 5 ships left, and who knows how many more Hunway. If we don't act soon, this will all have been for nothing. Adar had to resist charging out to the closest ship. Wait, he thought. If we run out in plain view of the Hunway, we'll be easy pickings. From the time he had convinced Bark to help him until now, 3 other ships had crashed into the city. The closest had been several blocks away from them when it had happened, but Adar hadn't gone to investigate, figuring that the occupants would all be heading here. He and Bark needed to make the most of their time. When the second ship had crashed right after the first, Adar had considered it a coincidence. But now that there had been 5 crash landings, he was suspicious that these were coordinated. What other explanation could there be? There was no question now that the Hunway had the ability to communicate between their ships. The first 2 had probably been the test group. Once those Hunway had made it out to the ships in the town square and managed to escape, the others had come down as well so that they could exchange their damaged ships for ones that had not been touched by the tower. Adar bit his lip. Why didn't the tower do something about the ships on the ground as well? Would it have put the people in harm's way? Adar wished that Samal were here. At the very least, the old professor would probably have had a clearer idea than Adar what the tower had done to the ships in the air. Whatever had happened up there had made it worth it for the Hunway to risk the crash landing so that they could swap out for those on the ground. Had the tower disabled something important on the ships? The first wave of Hunway had taken the largest of the ships and left the dregs for the rest. Adar was disappointed, but not surprised that the big one was gone. He had seen it depart when they'd stopped off at the home where he had hid the blasters. He'd even been looking out the window on the second floor when it had happened. After that, they had run the rest of the way. At any other time, Adar would have expected Bark to have trouble keeping up with him. But as they ran, he had been surprised to find that Bark had not been the one slowing them down. It was all that smoke I inhaled, Adar thought, glancing at Bark again and beckoning again for him to come over. And he's lost weight as well. Adar frowned. Was he worried about how he looked to Bark? Concerned that Bark would think him weak? Or was he nervous that if they needed to run from Hunway or Turncoast that he wouldn't be able to escape from them? Outrunning the Hunway was an easy thing to do. Adar was glad for that particular advantage. He wasn't certain if it was because their armor was heavy or if they were just slower. His eyes settled on the remains of some nearby Hunway. The armor had to have cooled down by now. When he could spare a moment, he would make certain to look at it. It looked rather heavy, but he wouldn't know for sure until he picked some of it up. I'll also get an answer to the question if I have to run from a bunch of turncoats. If they can keep up, it can't be the armor that makes the Hunway go slow. He also couldn't wait to get a blaster that had stopped working close to the armor to see if it would work again, but that would have to wait for now. Adar examined each ship and the surrounding area to ensure there weren't any nearby Hunway or turncoats. He also scoured any place that a man might be able to hide, hoping to find evidence that the Oqui were still about. What I wouldn't give to have some of those metal men on hand just now, he thought. We might have stood a chance killing the remaining Hunway and turncoats with their aid and that of the Oqui. Except for several goats that grazed on grass to the far side of the now leveled governor's mansion, the whole place looked deserted. There had been a fair number of people here before, but now there was hardly anybody in sight. He looked closer at some of the human bodies on the ground and wasn't surprised to see some were moving. While he watched, One of them sat up. It was an old man, and he sat with his back to Adar while cradling one of his arms. His hair was wet, and his clothing had to be soaked through as well. The rain had stopped, but the clouds had not cleared up. It looked as though the man might be able to walk, but he didn't make a move to get to his feet. Adar silently willed the man to get up and walk to safety, but he remained where he was. If there hadn't been Hunwei on their way into the town square, Adar would have gone to help the man. If you can't get to your feet, he thought, lie down again. He considered shouting out a warning, but discarded the idea, not wanting to risk the Hunwei coming into the town square at the wrong moment. "What's the fool man doing?" Bark asked, his whisper louder than necessary. He had finally joined Adar by the door. "Hush," Adar said. "There's no helping him." Bark's lips came forward in a movement that Adar took as disagreement. "He'll die if we leave him there." "Not necessarily," Adar said. Bark gave Adar a sharp look. "Figures coming from you." "If the Hunwei are moving as fast as the last group did," Adar said, "they will ignore him. They want a ship. Going out now risks us as well. What are the chances they'll ignore all three of us, particularly when we are carrying these?" Adar made a motion with the blaster in his hand. Bark looked at his own. His knuckles were white in a tight grasp on the base of the weapon. Adar couldn't decide if he was afraid he might drop it, or if he was concerned it might go off on its own accord. "They see us with those, and they're not going to stop until we're dead. Just remember that." Before Adar had given Bark the blaster, he'd made the man swear an oath to only use it or any other blaster against the Hunwei or to save his own life. Bark had initially balked at the oath, but Adar had insisted. While Bark had hesitated, one of the Hunwei ships had roared by overhead. After it had disappeared, Bark tripped over the words of the oath, unable to get them out fast enough. Adar had chosen the words carefully, and the word choice had not been lost on Bark. By his own admission, Bark had tried to kill Jorad twice, and each time Jorad had refused to engage in the fight. If Jorad had taken up the invitation, Bark would have been dead. If Bark chose to use the weapon on Jorad or Adar, he would have to go back on his word. "I hope that burns on your conscience," Adar had thought as he had shown Bark how to use the weapon. The wounded man's quiet whimper broke into Adar's thoughts, and he focused on the man once again. He was rocking back and forth, his good arm holding his bad arm against his chest. "We'll see to him and the others once it's safe," Adar said. "In the meantime, keep quiet." Bark nodded, but made no effort to hide a scowl. "I can't believe I'm stuck at the end of the world with this guy as my only support," Adar thought. On their way here, Adar had tried to recruit several of the men they encountered, but had not had any success. The first had looked forlornly at their blasters before turning tail and hurrying away in the opposite direction, as if they were afraid Bark and Adar were with the Hunwei. Another man hadn't even waited for them to ask a question before he had scurried away. For some of the townspeople, men armed with blasters were no doubt a legitimate fear. There hadn't been many turncoats, but there had been some. Other people hid in the homes that surrounded the square, but Adar doubted they would join the fight. "I need to recruit their help, but I'm not going to bring them out as long as I continue to hide in the shadows as well." At one point during the trip, Adar had spied a group of 10 men and pulled back behind a wall, keeping Bark from coming around the corner. When he had seen the questioning look on Bark's face, Adar had mouthed the word Hunwei and left it at that. Adar couldn't remember if he and Kira had talked about Isaac in front of Bark. It seemed better not to mention it. Bark was already skittish enough as it was. "Well, there's your ship," Bark said. "We could make it to the closest in under a minute." "Wait," Adar said. He didn't believe that the square was clear and was hesitant to move out into the open until he was certain. The last ship had gone down less than 5 minutes ago. That was plenty of time for the Hunwei to have made it to the square. "Stay here." Adar sighed when he saw that the wounded man hadn't moved. Cursing under his breath, Adar crouched, went out the door and picked up a small rock from the side of the home. The stoop had a small bush to either side that helped him feel less exposed. "I have either lost any sense that I had, or I'm trusting too much to luck," he thought, as he tossed the rock towards the wounded man. It landed just in front of him, but the man did not appear to notice. "What are you doing?" Bark hissed from behind. "Weren't you the one that just insisted we needed to save him?" Adar thought, but did not turn around, and made a shushing motion with his hand as he picked up another small rock. A flash of light came from the porch of a house on the other side of the square, and Adar perked up, hoping for a metal man to appear. After several seconds had passed, the flashing light came again. He squinted and sighed. It was a weather vane, tossing back and forth in the wind, reflecting the light of the sun as it peered down through the clouds. In a conversation with an Okwe, Jorad had learned that the Okwe thought of the metal men as gods. If Samal was to be believed, that couldn't be further from the truth. The metal men had been built by their ancestors. They had disappeared during the time of the Severing. Adar was glad to find that they were still around. If they are left over from the First Hunwe War, they might know how to fly the ships, he thought. The thought sent a chill down his back. Why didn't I think of that before? I should have approached the Okwe. The metal men should know how the ships work. He had speculated that the hidden weapons caches left by their fathers would contain ships. Over the years, he had worked hard not to allow the idle thoughts turn into expectations, especially after he had discovered what was behind the Rarbon portal doors. What good is a bunch of racks with black boxes, he had thought. The question had bothered him for years. If things that night had happened differently, he would have taken the time to find out. Curse the Red Guard and their devotion to ancient laws long forgotten. Right here in front of him were ships. If he could capture and bring one under his control, he might, together with Darren's tablets, just give them the fighting chance they needed. He wasn't under any illusions he would be able to walk onto a ship and get it off the ground. Some of what he'd read had said that the human variety of ships had been manned by dozens, even hundreds of people. That was not a surprise since a large ocean-going ships had large crews as well. Adar had been certain they could figure out the mechanics of working the ships over time, but having metal men on hand could speed up the process considerably. If the Okwe had metal men, there had to be others. He just didn't know where to begin looking for them. During their travels, Adar had always kept his ears open for strange phenomena and outlandish stories, hoping to find additional secrets from the past. I never once heard anything that made me wonder if the Okwe had metal men, he thought as he tossed another rock, this time aiming for the back of the wounded man. He lobbed it in the air so that it would get the man's attention without doing any damage. The rock hit the man on the head. Adar winced. Bleeding Nalia, Bark's going to think I did that on purpose. Hasn't the poor man suffered enough? Bark asked in a harsh whisper. Now you go and do something like that. Like father, like son. Adar ignored Bark as the wounded man turned, a confused expression on his face. Just as Adar was about to beckon the man to join them, a group of Hunwe came out into the town square. Bleeding Melia, Adar muttered, freezing and making a motion to the wounded man to lay down on the ground while holding a finger up to his lips with the other. The man opened his mouth but saw Adar's gesture in time. When he did not go to ground, Adar made the same motion again. A ship was between the Hunwe and the wounded man, but he didn't have long at the rate they were walking. The man looked about to say something, so once again Adar brought his finger up to his mouth. This idiot's going to get us all killed, he thought. If I wave my arm any more, the Hunwe will see me for sure. Crouching lower in the scant coverage of the bushes, Adar waved his hand again, mouthing the word danger. After doing that, he crawled backward into the door, nudging Bark out of the way with his foot. The man still hadn't moved once Adar was back inside. This guy has less than a minute. Adar began to count backward and brought up his blaster, using the cover of the building to pantomime shooting. The man paled and cried out. He shifted, his severed arm visible in the late afternoon light. It had been severed below the elbow, clearly the work of a blaster. He scrambled to his feet, still clutching his arm. He's not going to make it. Adar waved his arms about and caught the man's attention for a brief second. His eyes were wide, and a scream erupted from his mouth as he ran towards them. By the gods, I shouldn't have tried to help the man, Adar thought. If the Hunwe see him come in here, we are finished. Bark gave Adar a look of horror. What have you done? Hide, Adar said. The Hunwe turned the corner just as Adar went out of sight by placing his back against the wall beside the door. Bark was back at the window, peering through the small crack in the curtains. This is bad, Bark's whisper was hoarse. Very bad. Adar could feel his heart beating in his chest. It was strong enough that some irrational part of him was afraid the Hunwe would be able to hear it. The man screamed again. It was close enough that Adar cringed. A few more seconds and the man would be to them, bringing with him the Hunwe. Adar brought up his blaster and wrapped his hand around the button at the front of the weapon. He placed the finger of his other hand on the trigger, touching it lightly. Bark was ready to fire his blaster as well and shook bad enough that Adar was afraid he might accidentally touch off a shot. The sound of a blast cut through the air. At first Adar thought it had come from Bark, but it was followed by a thud just outside their door. Adar winced as a final scream came from the man, seeming to echo around the room. The poor fool never had a chance. A yell came from outside that Adar could only describe as a whooping cry. but it was much deeper than a man's voice and sounded more like a snarl. Perhaps that's just my imagination, he thought. It doesn't sound much different than any other sound they've made. Boots scraped on the cobblestones as heavy, muffled footsteps approached, stopping just outside the door. The Hanwe snarled back and forth in different tones. Is that two distinct voices, or three? Adar wondered. He hadn't stopped to count the Hanwe in the group, but it had easily been more than 10. One is distinct and lower than the others. The others could be two more voices, or just my imagination. A dull wrenching sound blocked out the Hanwe conversation. The intensity of it was such that Adar assumed it came from its ship. He tried to remember back to earlier in the day when he had witnessed the departure of several ships and was unable to recall whether they too had made the same sound. My mind was on other things, he thought. Too much had just happened. After it was done, he could hear the Hanwe once more. Their voices were getting closer to the door. The tortured sound from the ship started again and repeated, becoming a slow, throbbing sound that increased in intensity and speed, drowning out the Hanwe voices. Adar looked in front of the doorway, hoping to see shadows, but there wasn't enough direct sunlight to pinpoint much of anything. He gripped his blaster, envisioning in his mind the Hanwe stepping into the room. If he weren't noticed by the first, he'd let it go until the second was inside as well. Two quick shots, he thought. I can do this. He took in a breath and let it out slowly. After he'd done the same thing for the fifth time without anything happening, he chanced looking outside the door and relaxed. The Hanwe were a stone's throw away, heading towards the closest ship. Bleeding Melia, that was close, he thought, as he lowered his blaster. One less ship to take, but also fewer Hanwe to kill.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.